Is the Torah pro-life or pro-choice? Part 2. The Torah's perspective on abortion of Gentile fetuses. In the previous lesson, we explained that according to the final ruling of the Talmud and of the Rambam in Halacha, there is a biblical prohibition incorporated within the seven Noahide laws against aborting a Gentile fetus. And doing so is so severe that one who does so is liable for capital punishment, seemingly concluding that the Torah is a pro-life position. However, in truth, we remained with the following very important questions that have yet to be clarified, such as, does the Torah allow to abort a Gentile fetus in the case that the fetus poses a health risk to the mother? Likewise, towards which stage of pregnancy does the prohibition of abortion apply? Is it from conception, or is it from some stage further along? Also, what's the status of illegitimate pregnancies? And does the prohibition apply towards all forms of abortion? All these questions are critical to understanding if the Torah is truly on the pro-life extreme position, or if it's somewhere in the middle, which rejects the notion of pro-choice and views killing a fetus as actual murder liable for the capital punishment, but gives cases of exception. So let's begin. May a Gentile fetus be aborted for the sake of saving the life of the mother? So this question is indeed debated in Tosfos in Sanhedrin 59a, in which at first he writes that it's actually forbidden to abort a fetus of a Gentile, even if he poses a threat to the mother's life. And in this, says Tosfos, it's different than a Jewish fetus, which may be aborted if it poses a threat to a Jewish mother. However, later in his conclusion, Tosfos cites that perhaps one can permit doing so even for a Gentile. Practically, the later Poskim debate whether it is allowed for one to abort a Gentile fetus in case it poses a risk to the life of the mother. The Minchas Chinuch is of the position that it's forbidden to do so, as we never allow killing one life for the sake of saving another life and let God decide. Other Poskim have a rule it's permitted, so is the ruling of the Mechze Avram and the Koyach Shor, although with the Mechze Avram emphasizing that this is only allowed in a case of definite danger for the mother, while if it's only a case of questionable danger, Safik Pikuach Nefesh, it's forbidden to abort. Let's now move on to our second question. Towards which stage of the pregnancy does the severe abortion prohibition of murder apply to? When does it begin? So as we know, many in the pro-life camp state that it begins from conception, basing it on science and faith. However, in Torah, we find that until 40 days pass from conception, the embryo is not considered life at all, but rather maya ba'alma, mere fluids. And hence, the vast majority of Poskim rule that abortion which takes place within 40 days from conception is not included in the murder prohibition, and therefore one is not liable for capital punishment for doing so, and may be done even initially, especially in a time of need. So rules the Beis Shlomoi, Achiezer, the Teiras Chesed of Lublin, the Igros Maisha regarding Gentiles, Chuvas van Haggis, the Chavis Yoris, Ride Eish, Sofnas Paneach, Rav Poalim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and others. And as Igros Maisha writes in his very fierce Chuva against abortion by Gentiles, that within 40 days it is certainly more lenient. Now, regarding more than 40 days, so we fight a quite astonishing assertion of the Minchas Chinuch, which is taken to an even greater extreme in the Chuvas of the Tzafnas Paneach, the Ragachover, that the biblical prohibition of abortion of a Gentile fetus only applies when the fetus is fully developed, otherwise known in the abortion world as viability. This can, of course, delay the abortion prohibition from beginning until possibly the 5th to 7th month from the conception. The Tzafnas Paneach take this even a step further and suggests that the prohibition only applies once the mother is ready for birth and not prior. Practically, the Poskim severely question and negate these two approaches, although some Poskim indeed suggest leniency for abortions prior to the passing of 3 months. Regarding illegitimate pregnancies. So there is a debate amongst the Poskim, and a quite fierce debate at that, as to whether illegitimate pregnancies may be aborted. Some Poskim say that any pregnancy which resulted from a relationship that is biblically forbidden, such as incest or adultery, then since the woman and her unborn child would be liable for capital punishment in a court, the child is not considered to have a life, and therefore abortion is permitted. And some even go as far as saying that it's a mitzvah in order not to increase mamzerim amongst the people. So is the ruling of the Sheilas Yaivitz in Volume 1, Tshuva 43, Mishpat Yuzil Cheshin Mishpat, Volume 347, in a tshuva of the Ben Ish Chai and Rav Poalim Eben Ezra, Volume 1, Tshuva 14, he brings the opinions who are lenient, although states that he is fearful to rule on this. And indeed in Yeredeya, Volume 4, Tshuva 4, he contradicts himself and takes a stringent stance. And practically there are many poskim and achreinim who completely negate the above ruling and rule that it is never permitted to abort a child, a fetus, even if it was born due to illicit prohibited relations, and the child will be considered a mamzer. So is the ruling of the Chavis Yair, so is the clear implication of Sefer Chassidim in Ice 1918. So rules the Yeshua's Malki on the Rambam, the Gedulei Tzion, the Lechem Aponim, the Rav Poalim, as we mentioned in a Tshuva in Volume 4, and so rules the Igros Maishin Cheshin Mishpat Volume 2, Tshuva 69, in which he vehemently negates the ruling of the Yaivitz and claims it to be a completely mistaken ruling and utter nonsense to state, and that the Yaivitz made a mistake and he may not be relied upon. So is likewise the conclusion of the Mishnah Halachis, that one may not abort an illegitimate child. Now while in truth this debate in the Poskim is mainly regarding Jewish fetuses, it would seemingly likewise apply to Gentile fetuses as well, as clearly states the Mishpat Yuzil. Now, according to all opinions, the debate is only regarding a relationship that is biblically forbidden due to arias under penalty of death. However, those relationships which are prohibited but not considered erva, such as pregnancies that occur out of wedlock or teen pregnancies, whether consensual or not, are not under debate and have no extra leniency to permit abortion. Regarding fetal anomalies that may be detected during the pregnancy, and if they permit an abortion. So in general, the prohibition of murder applies even to people who may be disabled and not be perfect human beings. And the same would apply to the fetus, being that it is considered a life and under the murder prohibition to be aborted. Nonetheless, there are poskim who raise the possibility for leniency to abort fetuses that are detected to have anomalies that would cause them to be completely dysfunctional and mentally incapacitated when they are born, as they are considered the status of a shaita, which has a lesser severity in the murder prohibition. The same, in their opinion, would apply to a fetus who is detected to be a deaf mute when he is born. Nonetheless, the vast majority of poskim completely reject this notion and prohibit abortions to any type of fetus, even if anomalies are detected of such sort. Even the former approach, in the end, concludes that one is to be stringent, and so is practically the law, especially regarding Gentile fetuses, as it's possible that Gentiles are liable for killing even a shaita. However, a fetus which is detected with an anomaly that will disallow him to live when he is born, meaning that he will either be born dead or will die very shortly after birth, then some poskim rule that he's not considered to be alive even in his fetal state and therefore may be aborted. Regarding the form of abortion, if there's a difference between surgical versus medicinal abortion. So while surgical abortion is certainly within the biblical prohibition of abortion, it's questionable whether the taking of an abortion pill is more lenient, as it's a mere grumma, although it is unclear if this leniency would apply to the abortion of a Gentile fetus, being that Gentiles are liable for killing even through grumma. All in all, to summarize this subject, we see that while the Torah certainly does take a pro-life position and considers a fetus to have life, and even gives capital punishment for its abortion, there are various cases of exception which are discussed, such as for the sake of saving the mother's life, or if it is an illegitimate pregnancy from forbidden relations, or if it's yet prior to 40 days from conception, or if it's a fetal anomaly which will not allow the child to live, and practically in all cases that a Jewish doctor or a Gentile who wants to keep the seven Noahide laws inquires as to whether it is permitted for them to abort, they must contact an expert Rav in this subject for them to go through the details of the case and determine whether a leniency is applicable or if it contains the prohibition of murder. May Hashem help that the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade bring to a time where the world is filled with the knowledge of God and all humanity on their own will adapt and keep to the seven Noahide laws and the godly dictated rules of life. Once again, emphasize to our listeners that all the above discussion in the past two lessons is regarding the abortion of a Gentile fetus, and no leniency or stringency should be derived from the above regarding the question of aborting a Jewish fetus, which contains different bylaws and discussions of leniency and stringency versus that of a Gentile fetus.
Thank you for listening to ShulchanAruchHarav.com. Our free services of making Torah knowledge available to the public depends on donors like you. Please help us continue our work through making even a small contribution at ShulchanAruchHarav.com under the Daily Halacha Dedication section or in the subscription page. Also, check out our online courses and many Sepharim available for purchase that will both enhance your Torah knowledge and help support our work.